While America sleeps, it is under a blitzkrieg-level attack from within. As the CCP and the United Nations work in lockstep under the banner of the New World Order to collapse Western civilization before the citizens of the free world regain power and justice.
The committee has found that the CCP is waging a war without weapons against America. And the Biden-Harris administration has no government-wide strategy to combat CCP warfare. Unlike the first Cold War, the adversary is already within, having entrenched itself within U.S. borders, institutions, businesses, universities, and culture centers by capturing the elites in influential circles.
Oh, in my home state of New York, the deputy chief of staff to Governor Kathy Hochul was arrested on federal charges for acting as a secret agent of the Chinese government. Last year, several individuals were arrested on charges that they had helped to establish secret police stations. Dr. Thayer, can you elaborate on why the Chinese government would establish a secret police station in New York City?
And their purpose is to intimidate and coerce Chinese Americans, other members of the Chinese diaspora, for example, and why we tolerate such a violation of our sovereignty, I simply don't know.
If you do not control the borders, you are going to destroy our country. So now that, you know, they're sending the migrants into New York and stuff like that, so all of my super liberal friends, now they realize what a problem is.
I personally have no confidence that the FBI will rein in its own conduct. It is my opinion that the Bureau used reprisal and fear to control the workforce. I personally believe that there are no current effective checks and balances against them conducting lawless action with any type of correction in a legitimate time frame. I welcome the work of the IG, but I think any type of lawless action, there's no legitimate time frame to rein them back in.
Meanwhile, nuclear world war metastasizes while the New World Order actor puppet dictator Zelensky joins his fellow Democrat money laundering psychopath comrades to push Russian President Putin into a nuclear corner.
President Zelensky, during his U.S. visit, urges President Biden to approve the use of long-range Western missiles against Russia.
I know my answer. We cannot grow weary. We cannot look away. And we will not let up on our support for Ukraine.
There are some in my country who would instead force Ukraine to give up large parts of its sovereign territory, who would demand that Ukraine accept neutrality and would require Ukraine to forego security relationships with other nations. These proposals are the same of those of Putin.
Canada fully supports Ukraine using long-range weaponry to prevent and interdict Russia's continued ability to degrade Ukrainian civilian infrastructure and mostly to kill innocent civilians in their unjust war.
Of course, in the UK, we have this dreadful new Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, who is doing everything wrong culturally and economically in the UK. And abroad, he wants to escalate the war in Ukraine, or the war between Ukraine and Russia.
On September 13th, the world almost ended. Everybody watching this program almost died. I almost died. The world almost died. Why? Because if the insanity of the British government and those in NATO and some in the United States had manifested itself in giving Ukraine the green light to use Storm Shadow missiles against target inside Russia, Russia would have responded. Possibly not nuclear, but it would have eliminated Kiev as a modern functioning city, and it would have struck targets in the United Kingdom, in Europe, on the European continent, and in the United States. And then we would have probably responded doctrinally by using low-yield nuclear weapons in an effort to escalate, to de-escalate, to send a signal to Russia that you can't do this. And then Russia would have responded doctrinally by releasing the totality of its nuclear arsenal against the West, and then we would have responded and we would have died. 72 minutes is all it takes for the total destruction of the planet. Do you understand you almost died this weekend? I'm not joking. It's not a joke. I'm not kidding. You almost died and you didn't even know it.
The global elites want a world war and they want it now. There is no clearer path for global domination that provides an escape hatch from the crimes these minions of...
This bad boy is the number one seller at the alexjonesstore.com. Rebellion to Tyrants is Obedience to God. Folks love it. I love it. I love wearing this out in public. And it also lets the globals to let us know we are standing up against them, and we know who they serve, and we know who we serve. The BlackRock globalist-controlled left, from academia to the media, is obsessed with bullying you into silence because their ideas are illegal and unpopular. And if you simply speak up, it's game over. So stop thinking it's just Alex Jones or Tucker Carlson or Donald Trump's going to save the world. It's all of us together. And wearing T-shirts in public that promote freedom is key. It doesn't just show our enemies we're awake. Other people see it and realize how popular freedom is. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's a win-win. Get great shirts at thealexjonesstore.com, fund the operations, we fight the tyrants at Point Blank Range, and meet like-minded people and spread the word in the third dimension. Take action now, and don't let the left silence you. thealexjonesstore.com.
It's Friday, September 27th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Chase Geyser. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is The American Journal. I am Chase Geyser, your host this morning. I believe Harrison's wife is having a baby. It is to be determined whether that is the case. In the event that she is having a baby, I do believe I will be your host for at least a couple of weeks. An exciting time to be working in InfoWars and having children, given all the recent developments and news about our potential acquisition. But in news, in breaking news, we see more of the same. We see a fast trajectory, a high-speed chase into total collision with a brick wall from the Kamala Harris campaign. We have seen that she is panicking, scrambling. We know that the Democrats are scared because they've tried to assassinate Trump two, likely three times. And it's always been frustrating to me the last couple of weeks when I hear people say that there have been two assassination attempts on Trump, because frankly, there is substantial evidence that there were actually three. If you take into consideration what happened in Tucson just a couple of weeks ago with a very bizarre vision impairment of as many as 20 attendees all sitting in the same spot behind Donald Trump at the event as he entered and exited the stage, it seems like there was a targeted attack on President Trump there, and I don't know why it is that no one's admitting the fact that that was likely a third assassination attempt of the president. But the reason I bring up these assassination attempts is not to beat a dead horse or belabor the point. But the fact of the matter is, typically speaking, we don't have situations in which political leaders are assassinated or their assassination is attempted unless those leaders are abundantly popular or just absolute dictators. And so why is it that they would attempt to assassinate President Trump if he was losing the race, as the Democrats say, as the press says? Obviously, he's not a dictator who must be assassinated in order to restore democracy, because he isn't even the president of the United States right now. He's just a civilian, a regular guy, a former president. So this isn't some overthrowing of a despot that's being attempted right now. This is the attempted assassination of a political opponent, because this political opponent is abundantly popular, leading in the race. And if we learned anything from 2016, it is that the polls are not just inaccurate, the polls themselves are lies, just as the elections seem to be lies. If they can cheat in the elections with ballots, if they can cheat in the machines, if they can cheat with the ballot harvesting and the mail-in ballots, then certainly they can cheat on the polls, which are just a matter of calling 1,000 people or sending out an email and asking people to respond to a survey. Certainly, it's much easier to cheat in a major poll than it is to cheat in a major election in the United States of America. And so why is it that so many people lean on these polls as if they're divine gospel, as if God himself gave them to us on the top of Mount Sinai as lightning struck all around? Fact is, folks, Donald Trump is winning this election, and he's winning this election overwhelmingly. This is why Kamala Harris has been avoiding interviews, though she did just recently do one, which I will show you some outstanding, amazing, unbelievable clips from. But we see this cowering. We see Nancy Pelosi, and I'll show you this in clips today as well, panicking and losing her temper on Jake Tapper for asking a simple question, offended that the question even be asked. We see KJP, Karine Jean-Pierre, snapping at racist accusations, racist claims about Haitians in Springfield. We know that this economy, this country, this race, this campaign is nothing but a total disaster for the Democrats, akin to the disaster so many in the Southeast are facing with this hurricane. There is a storm coming, a populist storm coming, and the Democrats can do nothing but shutter their windows and hide, set up as many defenses as possible, and make as many outstanding claims as possible to just deny the reality, the objective reality. That means nothing but their total demise and their total powerlessness. MSNBC's Stephanie Ruhle defends poor Kamala Harris' performance in a softball interview. Guys, this interview was so easy that anyone even not paying attention to politics could have knocked it out of the park if they had an IQ above room temperature. I mean, imagine if I was going to go to an interview because I was running for president of the United States and Alex Jones was conducting the interview and he just asked me questions like, Chase, what do you think of globalism? Or, Chase, what's it been like working at InfoWars? These are the types of questions that Kamala Harris is asked in these interviews. They are such softball questions, and that's not even the most offensive part. The offensive part isn't the fact that these debates are rigged and the questions are given to Kamala ahead of time, or she might be wearing an earpiece with her earring that's having someone give her advice or suggesting responses to her. That's not even the offensive part. The offensive part is that despite the fact that these questions are such softball questions, that these questions are so easy to respond to, she still seems to respond like an utter fool. And I, for one, am not someone who thinks that Kamala Harris is stupid. I actually don't think that she's stupid. I think that she's very foolish. I don't think she has any wisdom, but she has certain skills that one cannot deny. And you can say, Chase, remember how she got started in her political career on her knees, knee pad Kamala. That's what everybody says. That's true. But there are a lot of women that are willing to get on their knees for a job or an opportunity, and they don't all become the vice president of the United States or the attorney general of California or the presidential candidate for the Democrats. So she must have some political skill, political talent, even though she doesn't understand policy whatsoever, even though her philosophy is not grounded in reality whatsoever, even though she can hardly put a sentence together, and anytime she speaks, it's just rambling and rambling like someone threw a dictionary in a laundry machine. She does have a talent for gaining political power without any merit whatsoever. She's like that boss you have who just faked it and flattered the right people and keeps getting promoted even though you're the one doing all the work. I'm sure everyone's worked with somebody like that. How does this person keep getting promoted? How is this person my boss? How is this person higher up in the food chain than I am at this organization after all I've done and as little as they've done or can do? After all of their incompetence, well, Kamala Harris is that only for America. And let's see what she says here. We're going to watch a few of these clips. Let's go into clip number 4 here where she responds to the question or statement around prices being high. Let's see what she has to say in 4.
Prices are still high.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You've said you want to take this on by going after those who engage in price gouging.
Yeah.
But as somebody who supports free markets, who's a capitalist, how do you go after price gouging without implementing price controls? Because once we get in this zone, people start to get worried and they say, I don't know what she stands for.
So, just to be very frank, I am never going to apologize for going after companies and corporations that take advantage of the desperation of the American people. And as Attorney General, I saw this happen. In the midst of an emergency, whether it be an extreme weather event or even the pandemic, we saw it, where those few companies, not the majority, not most, but those few companies that would take advantage of the desperation of people and jack up prices. Yeah, I'm going to go after them. Yes, I'm going to go after them. And that is part of a much more comprehensive plan on what we can do to bring down the cost of living, including housing, including the everyday needs of the American people.
Unbelievable how senseless that response was. And this is one thing that really frustrates me about these leftists, these socialists, globalists, Marxists, communists, whatever you want to call them. They're all kind of the same. They just seek to conglomerate political power into one central government and then exploit the people. It frustrates me that for decade after decade, basically ever since Karl Marx decided to put a beer down and write a book, these leftists have been saying that the problem with capitalism is that it's based on greed, which is to deny the fact that everyone, regardless of where they are or what culture they're up in, they're brought up in, is equally susceptible to being greedy than anyone else. Do you think that the communists in Russia are less greedy than the capitalists in the United States? Do you think that the communists in North Korea are less greedy or the Chinese are less greedy? Fact of the matter is, greed is a universal truth, a universal characteristic of the human condition, regardless of what civilization or culture or nation one lives in or economic system one lives in. The difference is that in capitalism, greed is turned into something that benefits all of us. For example, Henry Ford wanted to make as much money as possible, so he implemented the assembly line, and because of his greed, he was able to manufacture automobiles so efficiently that everyone in America was able to afford one. That's what capitalism does to greed. It turns it into a benefit for all, a good for all. It takes a vice and turns it into a virtue, something communism or socialism or globalism simply cannot do. And so after decade upon decade of making the claim that capitalists are greedy, 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 right-wing Republican business owners, greedy, greedy corporations, greedy, 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 greedy millionaires, billionaires, they act as if suddenly 3 years ago when their administration came into power, their regime took power in the United States of America, suddenly there was an influx of greed in all of these business leaders in these industries. Oh, so now the grocers are suddenly price gouging and they're so much greedier now than they were just 4 years ago or 5 years ago. It's absolutely ridiculous. The answer to the riddle is that the prices are going up because of inflation, not because of corporate greed. Not because of price gouging, not because of taking advantage of desperate people. The people themselves are desperate because of the inflation. That's exactly what's happening. And yes, she wants to come after these businesses because she wants to price fix, because that's what communists do when they don't know how to solve a problem using the invisible hand, as Adam Smith wrote in Wealth of Nations hundreds of years ago. Foundational economic document, book, tome of the United States of America. Because if you try to control something as complicated as the U.S. economy or the world economy from a central location, from a government authority, it's incredibly wasteful because you just simply cannot keep track of it. I don't care how many employees you have, how many government agencies you hire, or agents you hire, or bureaucrats that you hire. There is no way in hell that the government can manage an economy more efficiently than an economy can manage itself if hands are taken off, if we have a laissez-faire capitalism. So she fails to answer the question. She blames corporations and greed for the prices going up in the United States of America because deep down she understands that it's a result of inflation, and the inflation comes from their exorbitant spending. But we can't cut spending because, after all, government spending is how the political class gets kickback and ensures that its investment portfolios grow. So they can launder tax money through a legal but unethical system into their own pockets. And in clip number 5, she really does do a great job of shedding more light on her otherwise senseless responses. Tell me, when we take calls in the third hour, can you make any sense of this clip number 5?
And assistance to state and local governments around transit dollars, and looking holistically at the connection between that and housing. And looking holistically at the incentives we in the federal government can create for local and state governments to actually engage in planning in a holistic manner that includes prioritizing affordable housing.
Now, Stephanie Ruhle seems to understand that Kamala Harris's ultimate philosophy is to spend as much money as possible, and where money cannot be raised through tax revenue, to simply print it. Now, I don't think Stephanie Ruhle necessarily has a problem with this philosophy, but she does bring it up in a very subtle way, in a softball way, to try to allow Kamala Harris to respond to it. Let's see what she says here in clip number 6, where she asks simply, where do you get the money if you fail at the legislative level to raise the taxes in order to fund these projects, these operations that you want to fund?
expanding that child tax credit, or you mentioned housing before, giving that extra money for a first home. If you can't raise corporate taxes, or if GOP takes control of the Senate, where do you get the money to do that? Do you still go forward with those plans and borrow?
Well, but we're going to have to raise corporate taxes, and we're going to have to raise, we're going to have to make sure that the biggest corporations and billionaires pay their fair share. That's just it. It's about paying their fair share.
Oh. Oh. So what do you do if you can't raise taxes? Well, we're going to have to raise taxes. That's not an answer to the question. And even Stephanie Ruhle acknowledges that Kamala Harris fails to answer all the questions in the softball interview when she debriefs about it, when she analyzes the interview later with her colleagues. This is clip number 9, where she acknowledges that Kamala Harris basically failed to answer any question straightforward. Clip number 9.
Talk about that answer.
I do, but here's what's a little tricky. She doesn't answer the question around if the GOP is controlling the Senate, if she can't raise corporate taxes, where is she going to get the money from, is, you know, to expand the child tax credit and do all the things she wants to do. And she says, we just have to do it. And that's great, and that's a campaign promise. But the issue is, if it means we're just going to borrow again, then what we're doing is we're just never addressing the deficit. And back in the days when you were a proud Republican, debts and deficits mattered.
Okay, well. Yes, it's true that Kamala Harris failed to answer any of the questions, and that was disturbing. But frankly, when push comes to shove, it's okay that she couldn't answer any of the questions. Look at her response here in clip number 8.
Tariffs, if used in the right places, can work. And one could watch that and say, well, she didn't give a clear, direct answer. That's okay, because we are not talking about clear or direct issues.
You don't have to give a clear, direct answer to complicated issues. Actually, you do. In what field does the level of complicity or complexity, thank you. In what field does the level of complexity have any correlation or justification to how sophisticated or direct of an answer you have to give? What significant or substantial problem has any president of the United States faced in the history of the United States of America that A, wasn't complicated, and B, didn't require a very specific response? An executive decision. It is called the executive branch, after all. And how can you execute on a policy or an idea if you don't have a clear outline? I mean, they've been criticizing Trump for saying that he has, quote, concepts of a plan instead of a specific plan. She can't even answer a simple question as to whether or not she's for price gouging. The only question she answered directly in the entire interview was whether or not she actually worked at McDonald's. And she said, yes, I did. Yes, I did. And frankly, it might have been the only job that she was actually good at, because somebody else came up with the concept, the speedy system, of how to make fast food as quickly as possible. If somebody else gives her directions, she does great. But coming up with things on her own is impossible. I guess she's the perfect puppet. But we know that they're panicking. And I tell you what, if we look at how some of these kids who have been asked about Kamala Harris are responding, it's absolutely hysterical. And it just goes to show that the Democrats really are panicking. I'm going to show clips number 10 and 19 back to back. In 10, we have a boy responding to the question, what word comes to mind when you think of Kamala Harris? And in 19, we have a girl saying who she's going to support. Let's run 10 and 19.
What's the first word that pops into your head when you hear the name Kamala Harris?
Liar.
Unbelievable. Of course, we have Josh Shapiro here signing artillery, which is prescient, but I think clip number 19 is a little girl.
It'd be good for us to have a black woman as president for the first time in history.
Yeah.
But my vote's kind of still on Trump.
Yeah. Wow. So when you have kids responding in this way, when you have Stephanie Ruhle acknowledging on MSNBC that Kamala Harris didn't answer any of the questions and tried to defend it by saying that's okay because these questions or these issues are complicated, when you have Pelosi freaking out, as we're going to show you in a minute, when you have several assassination attempts on Donald Trump, when you have the political persecution of all political dissidents, whether it's J6ers, Rudy Giuliani, Trump, or this hacking of Vance, that we saw this week, then it's very obvious that we're seeing a level of desperation that we have never seen before here in the United States of America, specifically from the left. And Trump responded beautifully in clip number one. He breaks down what's going on in Ukraine, how much of a disaster this is. You just saw a clip of Josh Shapiro proudly signing artillery. And I tell you what, even if I was fighting a war against the most evil opponent possible, I would not be signing any munitions. That's just not something that you do. It's not classy to sign the munitions and gloat, especially when you know that these munitions have a substantial chance of hitting civilian areas or escalating to World War III. Under no circumstances is it appropriate as a leader to sign munitions gleefully as hundreds of thousands of people are being slaughtered in this conflict on both sides. I mean, Zelensky's signing munitions gleefully as he's sending 65-year-old men to the meat grinder. But in clip number one, let's hear Trump break down the carnage.
I hate to see the carnage. If I were president, it never would have happened. Russia would have never attacked Ukraine. Never, ever. And by the way, President Xi would have never even thought about Taiwan, which he's thinking about very seriously now, flying planes over it every single day. But President Putin would have never attacked. When I look at the horror show that's gone on, and the level of death is far greater than what is being reported. When you look at those cities, they're all knocked down, those beautiful, gorgeous golden domes, they're shattered and lying on their side, never to be replaced again. You can't ever replace that. 2,000 years old. When you look at the heritage of that really very vibrant country in so many different ways, and you see how it's been so broken, the people, so many people dead, where they have to use old soldiers, old men, and young boys because they're running out of soldiers. It's a very terrible thing. And then you see that the United States is paying for most of it, and Europe is not chipping in. And all you have to do with Europe is the same thing I did with NATO. Say you have to pay. And if you say you have to pay, they will. It's very unfair to the United States, but I look forward to seeing him tomorrow. We'll see. I do believe I disagree with him. Well, he doesn't know me, but I disagree. But I will say this. I believe I will be able to make a deal between President Putin and President Zelensky quite quickly.
And frankly, folks, it's not just little kids that know Kamala Harris is losing. It's not just the leftist establishment like Pelosi that knows that she's losing. It's not just Donald Trump that knows that Kamala Harris is losing. It's not just these assassins who know that Donald Trump is winning. It's even Zelensky. In clip number two here, we have Trump after Zelensky pleaded, basically begged, very politely and respectfully begged for time with Trump, acknowledging that he's meeting with him, I believe, today. Let's go ahead and run two.
Change. As you know, President Zelensky has asked to meet with me, and I will be meeting with him tomorrow morning at around 9:45 in Trump Tower. And it's a shame what's happening in Ukraine. So many deaths, so much destruction. It's a horrible thing. And
folks, we're going to dive more in on Trump's remarks and all this outstanding, unbelievable news on the desk on the other side of this break. But in the meantime, please visit thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. Now, there's several reasons why you should visit thealexjonesstore.com. First of all, the shirts are absolutely amazing. These are the best designs that I've ever seen InfoWars sell in the history of my time here. And as a viewer before I worked here. Second of all, you get entered to win an amazing truck, $138,000 value plus $10,000 in cash. And finally, this platform, thealexjonesstore.com, is how we can ensure that Alex Jones stays on the air no matter what happens to InfoWars. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. TheAlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word to the third dimension. And
fund the operation, and also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work for somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to thealexjonesstore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be?
Does one of us have to come out alive?
Press always asks me, don't I wish I were debating him? No, I wish we were in high school. I could take him behind the gym. That's what I wish.
If we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
I'll meet him in a hotel room any motherfucking day of the week and give him a Louisville slugger. Kiss my motherfucking ass, you bitch punk sucker.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
You cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
When they go low, we kick.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's an actor dressed to look just like President Donald Trump as he's assassinated on stage. Look as his character is stabbed to death.
Where is John Wilkes Booth when you need him?
Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
We are watching a rally right now. Former President Trump was just in the middle of a speech when what sounded like possible shots were fired. We saw the president, former president, take cover.
Breaking news, former President Donald Trump is safe, and a 20-year-old shooter is dead after a shocking assassination attempt on the former president in Pennsylvania.
We begin tonight with the breaking news and the second assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you.
He is destructive to our democracy, and he has to be eliminated.
Let me give you one bottom line. As a former government official, government's gonna kill this guy.
He needs to be shot, stop.
They're still gonna have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
This shirt as well, because the left's always acting like they're the Mavericks, they're the Trailblazers, they're the Outlaws. No, ladies and gentlemen, we are the rebels against the globalists. We are the resistance, and I'm voting for the Outlaw. Fight the tyrants at Point Blank Range and meet like-minded people and spread the word in the third dimension. Take action now and don't let the left silence you. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Chase Geiser, your host this morning. So we see news here that Cuomo is eyeing a New York City mayor run as Adams' legal peril grows. And before I get into some of the clips and details of the Eric Adams indictment, I want to show you this clip, clip number three. This is Donald Trump responding to the news developments of this indictment. And I think he makes a very, very good point here. And we have the clips to back it up as well. So let's watch what Trump had to say in clip number three.
I will say this. I watched about a year ago when he talked about how the illegal migrants are hurting our city and the federal government should pay us and we shouldn't have to take them. And I said, you know what? He'll be indicted within a year. And I was exactly right. Because that's what we have. We have people that use the Justice Department and the FBI at levels that have never been seen before. So I wish him luck. I don't know anything about what he did, but I told a lot of group, a lot of people right over there, that group was saying, you know, sir, you were right about that. When they mentioned that, I said, they came in and he was pretty strong about it. He said, this is really unfair to make us carry this burden. We shouldn't be doing this. This is New York City. I mean, your parks are loaded up. I just passed recently Madison Avenue, the Roosevelt Hotel. It's like nobody would recognize it. That's Midtown. But he came out very strongly against it. He was right, by the way, because it's ruining our country. He was honest. And I said, he will be indicted within a year. And that's what happened. And I noticed the indictment's very old. It goes back a long time. Well, I had the same thing. They went way before the statute of limitations. So I wish him well, but I said that he will be indicted because he did that. You take a look. That's what they do. These are dirty players. These are bad people. They cheat and they do anything necessary. These are bad people. And we need an honest Justice Department. We need an honest FBI, and we need it fast. Yeah.
And I believe this may be the clip that Donald Trump was referring to. This is clip number 12, Eric Adams, 1 year ago. And we've got a couple other examples as well that we'll be showing you to keep you up to date on what's going on here. But clip number 12 is where Eric Adams may have signed his own death certificate. Let's watch.
Support. And let me tell you something, New Yorkers. Never in my life have I had a problem that I did not see an ending to. I don't see an ending to this. I don't see an ending to this. This issue will destroy New York City. Destroy New York City. We're getting 10,000 migrants a month. One time we were just getting Venezuela. Now we're getting Ecuador. Now we're getting Russian speaking coming through Mexico. Now we're getting Western Africa. Now we're getting people from all over the globe have made their minds up that they're going to come through the southern part of the border and come into New York City. And everyone is saying it's New York City's problem. Every community in this city is going to be impacted. We had a $12 billion deficit that we're going to have to cut. Every service in this city is going to be impacted. All of us. And so I say to you, as I turn it over to you, this is some of the most educated, some of the most knowledgeable, probably more of my commissioners and deputy commissioners and chiefs live in this community. So as you ask me a question about migrants, tell me what role you played. How many of you organized to stop what they're doing to us? How many of you were part of the movement to say, we're seeing what this mayor is trying to do and they're destroying New York City? It's gonna come to your neighborhoods. All of us are gonna be impacted by this. I said it last year when we had 15,000. I'm telling you now with 110,000, the city we knew, we're about to lose. And we're all in this together. All of us. Staten Island said, send them out to Manhattan. Manhattan
and he's saying, absolutely right. He's basically stating the obvious. And we're going to show you another clip number 13 here in a second. He's stating the obvious. The fact of the matter is, if you allow the invasion of a country and you send the invaders to various communities in droves, Springfield is an outstanding example. Where the population went from 36,000 to over 56,000 in 2 or 3 years. An astronomical increase in the number of people in the town. And then suddenly the town is half not people from the town, basically overnight. When you sponsor such an invasion, it's going to cause disruptions and problems. It's going to weigh heavy on the infrastructure. You're going to have breakdowns in things like healthcare and education and housing. It's going to drive up housing costs. If you allow them to drive without giving them a license or proper training, then it's going to cause car insurance to go up because the number of collisions in the area is going to skyrocket. And the premiums for car insurance are correlated to some extent to the number of collisions in a given zip code or area. He's just stating the obvious. But for that, he became a political opponent. And I don't know why it is that we have the Kamala Harrises and the Joe Bidens and the Karine Jean-Pierres who come out and say that any criticism of this migrant issue is an example of racism. Nobody is saying that the problem with these migrants is their race, or that these migrants are of an inferior race to the white race, therefore we don't want them here. What everyone is saying is that what our leaders are doing is helping no one. In fact, it's harming Americans for the benefit of strangers who do not come here to assimilate, or because they want to be American, or because they have shared values, or because they believe in freedom, the reasons that many of our own ancestors immigrated to the United States from various places all over the world. The issue is not their race. The issue is the fact that it is not sustainable for us to absorb all of the desperate people in the world, especially if our leaders are going to lie about it and say that the reason that they are absorbing these people is because they have such compassion in their hearts, when the fact of the matter is they're all intimately tied to the NGOs and the government contractors who provide the services and supplies and equipment and aid to these groups. So we are being sold out, and we are told that we are morally inferior by those who are actually stealing from us and allowing the invasion of our country. I have no problem with a Haitian immigrating to the United States legally. I do have a problem with 20,000 of them being shipped to Springfield, Ohio, so that all of the locals there have to continue to suffer. That causes prices to go up, car insurance, housing, things that are absolutely necessary in order to make ends meet and live here in the United States of America. That just brings more and more suffering. Here's clip number 13 of Eric Adams diving more into this issue.
We're seeing the erosion of the quality of life that we've improved on in such a short period of time of this administration. And we have been impacted. For many months, we were able to keep the visualization of this crisis from hitting our streets, but we have reached a breaking point. We're no longer able to do that because of the volume and numbers. Just last week, we had 3,900 people that arrived here. We are averaging anywhere from 2,500 to close to 4,000 a week. And if you do the math, you see that's 8,000 every 2 weeks, potentially 16,000 a month that we must feed, clothe, house, educate children, and all the services that you would give a normal adult. And we're seeing that play out on our streets of New York. And that is what the breaking point looks like, what we are experiencing right now.
And you want to talk about controversial topics. Let's talk about the fact that the average IQ in Haiti is 67. And it's not a racist comment because it has nothing to do with race. I looked it up. I spent some time with ChatGPT and researching on the web what the issue is with Haiti that's causing so many Haitians to have a low IQ. And it's a combination of things. It's the fact that their government is abundantly corrupt. That corruption has caused a tremendous amount of suffering economically for the people. So you have high malnutrition rates among children coming up in Haiti, which has an impact on IQ over time. It's not genetic. They're not genetically inferior. It's the fact that they're not properly fed growing up. You want to talk about InfoWarsStore.com. You know they have an incredibly high iodine deficiency in Haiti? WHO, other major globalist institutions, health organizations have said that iodine deficiency is among the top five biggest health crises in the world. And it's a huge issue in Haiti. The malnutrition coupled with the iodine deficiency is the reason that the average IQ among the population is 67. And I have compassion for these people. I understand that they're suffering. I understand there's gang violence and cannibalism and corruption and violence and just injustice after injustice, and the natural disaster after natural disaster, and then exploitation after exploitation from the likes of the Clinton Foundation in Haiti. I understand. I feel bad for these people who are suffering and trying to make ends meet, but you can't just plop them into a new context and expect a different outcome. Their country is the way their country is because they are the way that they are. And instead of making them more like Americans, what you're doing is you're making America more like Haiti. We don't want to be more like Haiti. We want to put America first. This is why Donald Trump is winning by such alarming standards, by such an alarming extent. And Eric Adams comes out and just states the obvious. This is going to lower the quality of living for people in New York City. And here's his most recent statement, clip number 14, on his indictments.
My fellow New Yorkers, it is now my belief that the federal government intends to charge me with crimes. If so, these charges will be entirely false, based on lies. But they would not be surprising. I always knew that if I stood my ground for all of you, that I would be a target. And a target I became. For months, leaks and rumors have been aimed at me in an attempt to undermine my credibility and paint me as guilty. Just this past week, they searched the home of our new police commissioner, looking for documents from 20 years ago, just 1 week after he joined my administration. Enough. I will fight these injustices with every ounce of my strength and my spirit. If I'm charged, I know I am innocent. I will request an immediate trial so the New Yorkers can hear the truth. New Yorkers know my story. They know where I come from. I have been fighting injustice my entire life. That fight has continued as your mayor. Despite our pleas, when the federal government did nothing as its broken immigration policies overloaded our shelter system with no relief, I put the people of New York before party and politics.
They're indicting him because they want him out because he's not playing ball with their money laundering. That's what's going on. And then they're not just indicting him because they're bitter that he came out vocally or verbally against them and their policy. They're indicting him because he's not playing ball, and they know that if they remove him from the office, that the next person in line is going to be a leftist globalist who will totally play ball and allow this money laundering to continue. And New York's the biggest city in the United States of America, one of the biggest cities in the world, if not the biggest city in the world. And for New York City to be pushing back against the migrant crisis, that's a tremendous amount of opportunity cost for those who are exploiting the issue for the sake of their own wallet. If you look at Hunter Biden's laptop emails, you see that every single time there was a crisis, there was an email exchange for how they could get the contract to exploit it, whether it was fresh water contracts or food contracts or supplies contracts or aid contracts. This is what our political class does, and they're going to do the same exact thing with the destruction that this hurricane is going to cause in the United States of America. All the politicians are so eager to see the infrastructure of our major cities and our communities suffer at the hands of nature. They're going to simultaneously blame it on climate change, and then they're going to fund all their green energy companies and get kickback on that. And then they're going to institute all these programs to rebuild the cities, just like the Clinton Foundation was fired up again to rebuild Ukraine so that they can get direct kickback. They exploit every issue. And when there isn't an issue to exploit, they create one. They bring down a Building 7. They institute a Patriot Act. They fund a war in Ukraine for no reason. They allow an attack to happen on Israel, and they encourage a stand down to happen despite the fact they know it was going to happen. They leave weapons behind to the tune of billions of dollars so that terrorists can take those weapons and then use them to escalate an attack on Israel so they can justify getting involved in the Middle East again, because that was absolutely lucrative for them. And look, if you don't believe me, just look at clip number 20 here. This is a Haitian leader. Clip number 20, Haitian leader drinking water.
And everybody in the minority party, they're fearing what Donald Trump would do in the next.
I'll try again. Clip number 20.
Respect for its dignity.
Loop it again. I think they missed it. Look, he's pulling from the pitcher. That's 67 IQ material right there, folks. I'm sorry. I don't think we can help that person. I think that person's stupid. You can't fix stupid. But Karine Jean-Pierre, is acting like everything's fine. This is clip number 21, where she's responding and criticizing racist comments. That guy is not dumb because he's black. I'm not making a racist claim here. He's dumb just because he's dumb. I don't know if he was malnourished growing up. I don't know if he's got iodine deficiency and needs to get Survival Shield X2 or X3 from InfoWarsStore.com. I'm sure that it would help. Maybe it's too late for him. But you can't just import these imbeciles into our country to the tune of thousands upon thousands without having backlash here. This is KJP just totally denying the fact that there's a crisis that's been totally unnecessary and catalyzed by her administration.
What I will say more broadly, and we have been very clear from here, the president has been clear, the vice president has been clear. I think what we are seeing right now, what we have heard from national leaders about what is going on in Springfield, Ohio, the baseless lies and conspiracy theories, it's dangerous and it is false. And to go after immigrants in that way who are there legally, helping a community economically, who are welcomed in that community, and saying these baseless lies, is dangerous.
It's dangerous and it's false. I'm so sick of hearing political leaders describe speech or rhetoric as dangerous. That in and of itself is dangerous. And it's not the fact that she's saying that she thinks it's dangerous is the problem. It's the fact that she's going to push for policies to silence Americans in the name of protecting the people from misinformation. And it sounds so nice on the surface to fight against misinformation, ensure that only the truth is published. That sounds, ideally speaking, like an outstanding policy. But the problem is, the people who choose what is misinformation and what isn't are corrupt. They themselves are liars, dishonest, compromised. It's a conflict of interest. The truth is not always advantageous to them, especially with this regime that we have in office right now. You want to talk about dangerous rhetoric? You want to talk about dangerous? Let's look at the FBI. The FBI in and of itself is one of the most powerful terrorist organizations in the world other than the CIA. Repeatedly dangerous, repeatedly disproportionately targeting political dissidents rather than establishing justice in any way, shape, or form. Why is it that the likes of Eric Adams are being raided constantly when you have this Ryan Routh guy hanging out on the fifth hole just waiting for a shot? Why is it that nobody knows what happened in Tucson with the seemingly chemical attack or laser attack of 20 people right behind Trump at the rally? Why is it that nobody knew what was going to happen in Butler, despite the fact that this guy was training, this kid Crooks was training in facilities that agents were training in? And cell phone data shows that someone was meeting with him at work and at his home and then going to offices very close to the FBI headquarters in Washington, D.C. This is clip number 15 of an FBI whistleblower warning Americans to pray and stock up on food, water, and ammunition.
And everybody on the minority party, they're fearing what Donald Trump would do in the next administration while they sit here and they look at the guy who's been persecuted by the FBI. And everybody in the room understands it. Mr. Allen, do you have comments you wish to make? I give you about a minute, minute and a half, and then I want to turn the rest of my time to Mr. Jordan.
Yes, sir. I would just say that I consider the hearing today my last act of service as a public servant for the United States of America. And I'll give you my professional opinion. I was an intel professional for our country for many years, and I would give recommendations, and I'd also look at indications and warnings. So I would offer this to the American people as my warning to them. Since this is a warning to the American people, I say, I personally have no confidence that the FBI will rein in its own conduct. I've been persecuted along with Garrett, Steve, and Kyle, and countless other whistleblowers. It is my opinion that the Bureau used reprisal and fear to control the workforce. It has been a seemingly effective tactic. I personally believe that there are no current effective checks and balances against them conducting lawless action with any type of correction in a legitimate time frame. I welcome the work of the IG, but I think any type of lawless action, there's no legitimate time frame to rein them back in. Their ability to overclassify information can allow them to stonewall forever. To the American people, you have a duty as a citizen to vote, and I strongly urge you to do so. It's how you participate in the American experience. I know people have doubts about election integrity, but you must vote. It is your claim. Stake your claim and don't forfeit it willingly. Have your voice heard. My other recommendations are in the natural order. First, vote. The second is the Second Amendment. Arm yourself and know how to defend yourself. Make 3 to 4 friends in your neighborhood and promise to come to each other's mutual aid in times of hardship. And during the Great Depression, people stocked up a pantry. So I think that's a good practice, especially in our economic times, and make sure you have 3 to 4 months of food. And as a person of faith, I'd say pray the rosary, go to the First Friday devotions. That's for everybody, all my brothers and sisters of all faiths, and I know I'm Catholic, and read the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and live it every day. And that's all I have to say. Thank you for the time.
You know, Mr. Allen, the fact that there are servants like you who have borne up under persecution that a lot of political leaders in this country do not care about.
You want to talk about dangerous. It's not just an FBI that can classify information that would lead to its own accountability. It's not just an FBI that disproportionately targets political dissidents and allows the political class, members of the political class, to go away for free. It's not just an FBI that uses people like P. Diddy or Epstein to engage in human trafficking, to blackmail influential members of our civilization. We want to talk about dangerous rhetoric. Why don't we go to this clip, number 23 of MSNBC, saying it's time to extinguish Donald Trump.
He says is the opposite. It's just another lie. Like, how did we get here? Let's extinguish him for good. We have an answer. We have a remarkably talented candidate who is sincere, who's pragmatic, who's open. Let's just get it done.
And she has a right to say that. She has a right to say, let's extinguish Donald Trump for good. But she doesn't have a right to say that and then claim that the rhetoric of the right is dangerous and inflammatory. You don't have a right to say Donald Trump needs to take a bullet and then claim that Donald Trump incited an insurrection on January 6th and that his rhetoric is something he should be held accountable for or held responsible for. And we've got Pelosi freaking out. She's absolutely losing her mind in clip number 26 here, where she can't even believe that Tapper brings up the issue of Kamala Harris's cognitive decline. And I'm not saying she's in cognitive decline. I'm just saying she is a bumbling fool. Not stupid, but obviously very, very foolish, dangerously foolish. Clip number 26.
Donald Trump saying that Kamala Harris has bigger cognitive problems than Joe Biden.
Why would you even cover that? This is a person who's not on the level. He is their nominee for president. He is incompetent. Let's not even talk about the silliness of it all and the weirdness of it all and the assault on women that it is. We're not going to talk about
it. How is it an assault on women to say that Kamala Harris is in cognitive decline? It doesn't make any sense. They always try to make it about identity politics. So if you're against the migrant crisis because it is a crisis and it's causing pain and suffering for American people, that's because you're racist. And if you're calling Kamala Harris in cognitive decline, it's because you're sexist. They always revert back to this identity politics, and they want to extinguish Donald Trump. They want to silence him. They want to kill him, frankly, and they want to do the same to you. And they're trying to do the same to Alex Jones. They're trying to take Alex Jones's personal identity, his name itself, and claim that it is their intellectual property, the leftist regime's intellectual property. So he can't even use his own name. So he can't even use his own social media accounts at Real Alex Jones on X. That's what they're trying to do. And it's not just because they want to silence Alex Jones. It's because they want to ensure that the people cannot be awakened or enlightened by the truth that he speaks. They're not coming after him because of anything he ever got wrong. They're coming after him because of everything that he got right and gets right every single day. And if you want to keep the truth broadcasted worldwide on InfoWars, please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We need your help more now than ever. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Be the reason that Alex Jones is still on the air.
I got a great way for you to keep InfoWars on the air, and regardless what happens, InfoWars keep me on the air, and that's the alexjonesstore.com, a new key URL for you to mark down. I've teamed up with the folks that make a lot of the top-selling Trump shirts in the country. They've got the best t-shirt designers, Bigly. If you go to thealexjonesstore.com, that's separate from InfoWars, that's key to support into the future, whatever happens here. 30 plus amazing new t-shirt designs, new ones being added every day. They're incredible. Trump shirts, you name it, thealexjonesstore.com. And every time you buy a shirt or 30 plus different great designs of Patriot ball caps, you get entered 5 or 10 times, depending on the day. It's different every day, into the raffle to get $10,000 cash. Halloween's when the prize is announced, the winner, and a $138,000 turbo diesel super deluxe off-road upgraded, the best truck you can get, over the top turbo diesel engine, AEV standard features, and then it's all upgraded. I tried to go over, take an hour, the best tires, the best shocks, the best systems. It's a 2024 Ram Prospector AEV Dodge turbo diesel, army green, black with red pinstripe, ready for you. When you buy something, you entered 5 or 10 times, depending on what promo they're running that day, in the raffle. All at thealexjonesstore.com. But the t-shirts, the reason to go there, keep us on air. And these are badass shirts. They've got over 30 incredible t-shirt designs. I think there's more now. They're adding more every day at thealexjonesstore.com. They're designer, they're high quality, they're all there. Some of the InfoWars classics, they updated, made even better. A lot of new, incredible designs. A lot of Alex Jones shirts. A lot of Trump shirts. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. We need your aid. We need your support. Plus, these are great shirts. You'll meet like-minded people. It spreads the word. It's exciting to wear these out in public. Most people will agree with you and love you. You'll meet so many friends. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. We need your support. No excuses. Take action. thealexjonesstore.com. Thank you. Enter to win right now at thealexjonesstore.com.